From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. President Donald Trump says he's open to talks with North Korea at the appropriate time. He spoke by phone with his South Korean counterpart, Moon Jae-in. Both men underscore the importance of continuing a maximum pressure campaign on Pyongyang. At a joint news conference later, Mr. Trump said he remains committed to working with other countries to resolve problems like North Korea.
It's very much better having to do with North Korea, where we currently have a problem that should have never been my problem. This should have been a problem solved many years ago when it was much less dangerous, but it was given to me along with a big mess of other things. So I just want to say that it's a lot better to work with other countries. We're working with China on North Korea. We're working with various other countries, and I think we're doing very well. We had a great talk this morning with President Moon, and I think that a lot of good things are happening. We're going to see what happens.
Ken Gause of the Center for Naval Analyses said the U.S.-North Korea talks would only be possible if the U.S. dropped its demand for denuclearization.
I think the only way that North Korea will come to the table, the negotiating table, is if there are no preconditions. That means the United States cannot put denuclearization as a precondition for talks. If they do, the North Koreans will not come to the table. So my advice would be that we need to offer talks without precondition just to kind of set the parameters for future talks to find out what the art of the possible is.
At Tuesday's inter-Korean talks, the North agreed to take part in next month's Winter Olympics. Tunisian demonstrators were back on the streets late Wednesday protesting over economic conditions. The protests over tax hikes and unemployment erupted Monday, leaving at least one dead, and took place just days before the seventh anniversary of the so-called Arab Spring uprising that began in Tunisia. This is VOA News. Turkey Wednesday called on Russia and Iran to pressure Syria to halt its military operations in northwest Idlib province near Turkey's border. The UN said tens of thousands have already fled the fighting following an allied government offensive in the rebel-held province. Trinity University history professor David Lesh said despite recent claims of victory by Russia and Syria, significant pockets of resistance remain in Syria.
You have some outside of Damascus in the eastern Ghouta suburbs. You have a pocket outside of Homs and Rustan. You have significant pockets along the Jordanian border, and the largest one is in Idlib in the northwest, which borders Turkey.
Syrian forces have pushed up to a rebel-held air base in Idlib. Meanwhile, Turkey's foreign minister said Moscow and Tehran must fulfill their duties under a joint accord reached last year, which all three countries announced a de-escalation zone in Idlib. Israeli soldiers have set up roadblocks and deployed extra forces around Nablus in the occupied West Bank in a manhunt for the assailant who killed an Israeli motorist on Tuesday. A funeral for 35-year-old Raviel Sheva was held earlier. Participants demanded revenge following the drive-by shooting by a suspected Palestinian gunman. Colombia's Marxist ELN rebels have resumed attacks on oil installations and troops following the expiration of a ceasefire agreement with Bogota. Peace talks in Quito, Ecuador, are stalemated in a bid to end more than half a century of fighting.
El gobierno nacional deplora la decisión del
Colombian ELN. President Juan Manuel Santos said his government deplores the decision to resume what he called terrorist attacks against the civil population. He had hoped to extend the truce, which began in October. The government signed a peace deal with the larger Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, in late 2016. Just days before Pope Francis visits Chile and Peru, the Vatican announced Wednesday it's taking over a Catholic society in Peru, whose founder is accused of the sexual and physical abuse of children as well as adults in the organization known as SCV. The group founder, Luis Figari, a layman, is due to go on trial. Flash floods and mudslides have killed at least 15 and demolished a number of homes north of Los Angeles, where wildfires last month stripped the hills of trees and vegetation. Ellen Murdoch is a resident of the town of Montecito.
I would say it's apocalyptic. I had no idea that the devastation was like this.
At least 24 are unaccounted for as the search for survivors expanded Wednesday. Most deaths are believed to have occurred in Montecito, a wealthy area where some neighborhood streets were turned into rivers of mud or blocked by huge logs and boulders. The death toll from a cyclone that slammed into the eastern part of the Madagascar has risen to at least 33, with nearly two dozen still missing. Tens of thousands have been displaced by flooding, heavy rains, and high winds. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.